Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Today we're going to take a look at the Dublin West constituency and discuss the big issues here, like housing and the cost of childcare and healthcare. Joining me in studio are Fine Gael's Eimear Curry, Sinn Féin's Paul Donnelly, Green Party candidate Roderick O'Gorman and independent candidate Dr. Umar Al-Qadri. You're all very welcome to the programme. We did invite Aonthu to take part in this panel and they have withdrawn, just to let you know. We had Barry Lenehan in the programme earlier. He's out in Dublin West in your constituency, and some of the people he spoke with mentioned housing as a key issue. One mum said she's encouraging her kids to travel. One 28-year-old told Barry that she can't get a mortgage, get mortgage approval. She can't afford rent in this constituency. Eimear Curry, you're the Fine Gael candidate. That's after 14 years of Fine Gael in power. What promises can you make on housing?
Well, firstly, thank you for having myself and everyone on today. We are making progress with housing, but I'm very acutely aware of all the stories that your reporter would have heard today and that we are hearing on the doorsteps. And it is the lived experience of people in Dublin West in relation to getting on the housing ladder. But
what progress are you making in Dublin West?
We are making progress in relation to the delivery of housing. We've seen how our numbers have doubled from 2007 up to when Leo became Taoiseach, and then they doubled again in terms of housing.
What numbers? Delivery? Is it supply?
Yes, the delivery of housing.
So why are people waiting over a decade, I think, in Dublin West for a social house?
Because it's all linked to supply. In Dublin West, we've seen since 2019 the delivery of 4,000 houses. So what we want to do in this election is to get a mandate for the people to continue on the sustainable model of housing that we have established and we are seeing progress
in. Did you call this a sustainable model?
I do believe that we have now landed on a sustainable model for housing.
For who?
For first-time buyers, for people putting down roots in their community.
But this first-time buyer told us she can't get mortgage approval.
Absolutely.
I understand. So it's, you're saying it's progress, but you do concede it's not fast enough.
I do concede that we have that there is much progress still to make.
Okay. And I suppose market conditions, Paul Donnelly of Sinn Féin, it doesn't matter who's in power. You have the same problems here. You have to admit that.
It absolutely matters who's in power, because we see for the last 14 years of Fine Gael and the last 5 years of the present government, we have seen by every metric that housing has gotten worse. When Fine Gael came into power in 2011, there were 3,000 people who are homeless. There are 14,000 people homeless now, including 4,000 children.
How would it be different under Sinn Féin?
Well, under Sinn Féin, because we are talking about building a massive amount of public, social and affordable housing. The problem with the government...
No, we know the problem, but it's easy to talk about the problems.
Absolutely.
Tell me how you're going to build.
They have a developer-led policy for the last decade. What we're talking about is the state moving in and building a massive amount of social and affordable housing.
I've looked at your plan,
affordable housing of 250,000 to 300,000.
You're also relying on private development.
Well,
now,
of course.
You might refocus
well,
a little
course.
Bit. So how would
no,
you
no, no.
deliver...
We're not relying, no, we're not reliant on the private sector.
What we're saying is
that the private sector will be a partner in all of this, because they will still be building private housing.
How will you deliver social homes in?
The state
in a
will go in.
Way.
Well, you have public homes on public land.
What does that
That's
mean?
What we. It means the land that the state owns, that we will build public housing on that. Public, affordable.
Will?
The state will.
But who's that?
The state. The state will be. So we will be encouraging developers. We'll be getting builders in, and we'll be paying the builders to build on state land.
So you're saying
the way we have always done this.
Hang on a second here. You're saying the state will, but then you're pointing to developers straight away.
No.
Private developers.
The state will be employing people to build social and affordable housing.
Employing.
The way we have done this before.
You mean PPP?
No, actually the state will be paying for the affordable housing.
Hang on a second, you'll be taking on developers as state employees.
Well, let me tell you. No, what will we be telling you? So, for example, who will you be employing? Let me give you an example.
Okay.
So at the moment, you have Ongar, which is a strategic development zone. The state have moved in and they have bought a number of those buildings that were built by developers. So there are hundreds of people now who are in housing that weren't there previously. That was when the state, through housing associations, going in and
criticised the state purchasing against others on the open market because it diminishes the amount of homes that others can buy.
And the reason why we are talking about buying public building public homes on public land is because we will not be competing on the private market.
But you're saying it will
be public land. There will be a mixture. There'll be a mixed tenure. That's what we're talking about. There'll be a mixture of public and private.
Before I move on to Roderick O'Gorman, how many state employees will how many employees in the construction sector will you employ to build public housing on public land?
We're not talking about at the moment, because it needs to happen quickly, but we're not talking about the moment of a state building company. We are using the builders that are there at the moment to build public housing on public land.
Sorry, you did say you'd employ workers.
No. We would bring in builders and contractors to build
PPP.
On public land. No, it's not PPP. We'd be paying them.
Okay.
We'd be paying contractors.
It's similar,
like, for example,
is this a similar model to
go and get a mortgage?
Before we leave the pipe dreams of Sinn Féin, I'd just like to say that we are already delivering affordable social housing on public land in Dublin West. And we're doing it, affordable housing from 263,000 for a two-bedroom house up to 315 in Churchfields. So when Paul talks about this magic affordable housing scheme that Sinn Féin have developed, where houses will be available from 250,000 to 300,000, we are already doing
it. And, so you're telling us it's a pipe dream.
No,
so
I'm saying your plans around construction companies coming in and spending 10 years or 15 or 20 years. We are already delivering
to the uninitiated. They might seem like very similar plans.
Because
I understand you see differences. But the Green Party's Roderick O'Gorman, can I turn to you? One of the major problems people have is this is in your own constituency as well, if I'm not mistaken. The Sidings in Adamstown have launched cost rental homes at 1,800, it's quite close to your constituency, if not there. Mm-hmm. They're €1,800 cost rental.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
who's that affordable for?
And in our constituency at Barnwell Point, in Hansfield, we've cost rental from €1,400 per month. And this is an initiative the Green Party have pushed in government. There was no such thing as cost rental before we were in government. There's now 2,000 units around the country, 2,000 families living in more affordable rental accommodation.
At nearly €2,000 a month. But who can afford
well,
that?
Well, at €1,400.
Yeah, but the one I mentioned is €1,800.
Yeah, for a larger home.
And we've also seen €1,900 mm-hmm. places as well.
But fundamentally, cost rental is about a more affordable option on the rental market. And we have to deliver more of that. And whereas I agree with Paul on the issue of the use of public land for public housing, the way in which we deliver that, the Land Development Agency, that agency that this government has worked to develop, to put in place, which is now actually delivering housing.
How many homes?
It's delivering housing in Wilkinson's Brook in our own constituency, in Kilmartin Grove in our own constituency. In the homes in Wilkinson's Brook, there are four families with a maximum income of 107,000 per annum. So it is bringing homes within that affordable.
That's a fair whack of income, isn't it?
It's still significant.
And that's affordable, Roderick.
But this is about affordability.
Is that the criteria for affordability?
That's for that particular scheme.
Over 100,000 euro.
That is
what you'd have to earn.
For gross income, I mean, for the family.
But
we need to do it at scale.
Yeah, I understand that.
We're
starting this process.
We need to do it in scale.
Can I ask you a question? Let's pause it for a second. Are you saying that one of your criteria for affordability right now for the Green Party is a salary of over €100,000.
No, what I'm saying is I'm giving you an example of the LDA beginning the process of delivering affordable housing. What I'm saying is
a salary of over €100,000 you mentioned.
What the Green Party are going to deliver if we're part of the next government is an extra €4 billion of capitalisation for the Land Development Agency. So it can continue the work it started delivering affordable purchase and affordable rental homes and state-owned land.
Is there a disconnect there? I mean, the average worker, planning worker could afford those? What average worker could afford
Because we've just started this process. The LDA is set up and beginning to deliver houses. If we give it more capital...
After five years, you're starting.
Yeah, and now you want to deconstruct the LDA and give it a completely different role.
We want to ensure that there's 370,000 homes that are built.
But with respect, you weren't convincing on how you were going to do that and what you just said.
We've said use the LDA.
We've set up this organisation. It is delivering. What we need it to do is deliver at scale, and we need to give 3 billion euro of the Apple money to help it
Can I bring in Dr. Umar Al-Qadri? Are you convinced as an independent candidate that you could work with any of the parties you've heard so far?
Well, first of all, Gora Market for inviting me. Look, I'm an independent and I'm a person that reflects the diversity of the constituency. Dublin West is the most diverse constituency in the country. That diversity is not reflected at all. And it's really time that we have someone that can speak on behalf of all those people that have a migrant background but are proudly Irish. Now, in terms of my respectable candidates that spoke with me, each one of them spoke from a party perspective. I want to speak from the perspective of the people of Dublin West. And I strongly believe that whoever I have spoken to, irrespective of their background, they all believe that under the 14 years of government by Fine Gael and the 5 years by Green Party, the housing crisis has become a housing emergency. It has turned from worst to a disaster.
And with respect to you, we all know how bad the crisis is.
What I want to hear from you
as a prospective candidate here, as an independent, are you saying now you're ruling out, if you were elected, working with Fine Gael or the Green Party?
What I'm saying is that I listen to the people of Dublin West and I'll decide then. But I strongly believe we need to have emergency measures. We need to restrict vulture funds from scooping up housing apartments, from scooping up apartment blocks. We need to make sure that we have a state-run, state-owned building. So at the moment, private builders are building. Private builders build for profit, not for people. So we need the state to step in. The Netherlands, where I'm originally from, has introduced in certain cities restrictions on vulture funds because of the housing crisis there. We should have thought about that. With all due respect, I want to just mention this. I'm going to ask you the question.
This is the biggest topic possibly in the country, and you've discussed housing, I'm sure, with every single person that's opened a door to you. From all of the candidates that you've heard, and you've debated with them for a long time now, for weeks, who is best aligned with your views on housing?
I would say it's Sinn Féin. I would say it's Aintu. Both would be very much aligned. I'll tell you, because of the approach towards housing. The approach towards housing by Fine Gael and by the Greens have been really facilitating an environment where people like myself are being scapegoated. Migrants are being scapegoated because we haven't created this crisis. But unfortunately, we are being held accountable and responsible for
this. What do you mean?
A lot of people think that the housing crisis is due to the arrival of the immigrants. Well, it's not really like that. Many immigrants like myself are contributing positively to the economy. Mm. But at the same time, I think, look, when you have scarcity of resources, it's very significantly important that you actually reflect that in your policies of immigration. So far, the government has not had a reform on the immigration policy, on the asylum policy, and we have had an influx of thousands of people coming in this country, some legally, some illegally, and that puts this puts a lot of pressure on the housing.
Just to be clear, are you accusing the current government parties of scapegoating migrants on the housing?
No, I'm not. Holding them accountable. I'm saying that their policies have facilitated an atmosphere, an environment where some people, not everybody, but people that are very, very toxic and very vocal are now scapegoating migrants.
That is some charge. And you are the Minister for Integration, Roderick O'Gorman. How do you respond?
I respond by saying over the last 2.5 years, we've responded as a country to two unique circumstances. A war on the European continent that's seen millions of people flee Ukraine and over 100,000 originally, now about 80,000 seek shelter here in Ireland and be supported by communities, and a surge in people seeking international protection after the COVID crisis. And it's been difficult. It's been challenging meeting those needs, but ultimately we have provided basic levels of accommodation for over 100,000 people. Not homes, not forever homes, not the sort of affordable or cost rental houses we've been talking here. Sometimes it's as basic as tented accommodation. But we've done it because we've international obligations, and we've done it because the vast majority of people in Ireland saw what was happening in Ukraine.
But how do you respond to the charge that your policies have facilitated the atmosphere in which migrants can be scapegoated?
No, I don't accept that. I think what has led to migrants being scapegoated is a number of far-right activists who are influential on social media.
So you reject that charge completely?
I do completely.
Eimear Curry, for Fine Gael's point of view.
I do. I completely reject it. And I'd also reflect on the debate that was on last night, where the leader of AINTU, the party that you have called out, questioned whether or not
the AINTU candidate is not here to defend themselves.
I think it's an important point to make
that
the critical skills list was questioned last night, and whether pharma and ICT should be on those lists.
The charge that Dr. Umar Al-Qadri made of facilitating an atmosphere, you reject that. Your policies are doing so.
And I reject that. I think any atmosphere is being driven by a far-right agenda. And look, before we do move away from housing, Cormac, because this is really important, Sinn Féin would cap their affordable purchase to salaries of 90,000 and under. And I believe that is very damaging. We're not doing that. We're making sure that our affordable purchase schemes are open to the likes of guards and teachers. Their entire premise of the affordable purchase scheme is based on the value of the land being involved in the price, and the banks have not accepted that. The charge is
under Sinn Féin in government, a guard or a nurse or anyone could get an affordable house if they earned less than 90,000.
Yes,
is that it?
Absolutely.
And earning 91,000, 92,000.
There has to be some level of a cap. We're talking about affordable housing here.
It's too low.
And look, I think that the vast majority of people will be within that bracket of your guards, of your nurses, of your prison officers, the people in the public service, and also for average workers who, the people like that 20
hold on, a couple on an average industrial wage, so, 50,000 each, they'd be excluded, wouldn't
they? When you look at that 28-year-old girl who's in that house, I see them every single day. I hear from them every day.
A huge
I hear
problem.
From their parents every
problem.
Single day well, where okay. they cannot afford. People having to save up 100,000 euro for a deposit for a house. There's a house in Kellystown. You talk about cost of housing. There's a house in Kellystown, a brand new development, which is costing a starter home at 520,000 euro.
Roderick O'Gorman Roderick O'Gorman of the Green Party and independent candidate Dr. Umar Al-Qadri will debate childcare after the break in Dublin West.
Tweet at DriveTimeRTE.
You're very welcome back. We're with Dublin West candidates Eimear Curry, Fine Gael, Paul Donnelly of Sinn Féin, Roderick O'Gorman of the Green Party and Dr. Umar Al-Qadri, an independent candidate. Let's talk childcare because we heard in your constituency and every other constituency that childcare for families is like another mortgage. And Sinn Féin has promised €10 per child childcare for full-time childcare. Is that it? And that's €200 a month. And you say in your manifesto, Paul Donnelly, this is be done by increasing the subvention to childcare providers and will also apply to childminders at a cost to the state of €345 million. Mm-hmm. And that's for a full-time state-run childcare for all.
That will be for all.
And the difference between
Sinn Féin and the government parties, which have moved over the last number of years in providing more affordable childcare, but the problem is that it's still absolutely unaffordable. So, the hole in there is that they haven't included childminders as well.
I want to talk to you about yours for a second. So, €345 million, the total cost, is that?
Yes, the total cost.
Okay. And you're providing that even for wealthy families.
Well, I think, look, it costs money to send children to school. We have universal schools. We have universal child benefit. I see that we also need to have universal childcare.
I know, but if Elon Musk was living in your constituency, you'd still be paying.
We could use that argument for everything. We could use that argument for every universal payment. We could use that argument. Mm-hmm. That argument is something that's there. That argument has been there, has been used, but we believe, and we do believe, that it's a universal payment. And it's a universal payment like education.
You're standing by it then. What happens to private providers under your plan?
So private providers will still provide private childcare, but we will be moving towards a fully state-owned childcare provision.
Why would they?
Well, there will always be, a bit like housing, it's a bit like healthcare, there will be a provision of private, a mixture of private and public.
Would you pull away their subventions?
The subvention will stay in place.
For private as well?
Yes, of course.
Okay. So will that include, and you be employing more employees under the state scheme?
Well, what we'd be doing is be at the same time, so in the initial stages, we would be looking at providing that funding for people at the moment in terms of private childcare. What we're talking about at the same time is also establishing a public service,
when would that be in place?
Well, we'll be starting as soon as we get into government. That's exactly when we'll be starting.
Okay. Is your plan any better than that for the Green Party's point of view, Roderick O'Gorman? You've reformed the childcare system we have at the moment, and people are saying it's still way too expensive.
It is still too expensive, and that's after the very significant changes that I've been able to make, the very significant investments that I've been able to bring about. I was the first minister who seriously focused on the issue of affordability for children. That was an issue that wasn't set out in the programme for government. It's a political initiative that I took, having spoken to my constituents, having spoken to my own friends who were saying exactly what you said, that they saw childcare as a second
mortgage.
Do you accept
you failed?
I haven't.
Why?
I've been able to significantly cut childcare costs for parents.
Really?
The fact that, yes, really. And you listen, you speak to parents, they will acknowledge that. They will still say, which I agree, it's still too high. And that's why in this election, we're setting out how we would make it more affordable. But the other issue, and probably the biggest issue for most parents now, is capacity, is the actual availability
of childcare
spaces.
And the reason for that is providers are saying that under your reform system, they're going out of business because they can't afford to meet the costs.
Well, the number of new providers this year is the highest number in the last few years, in the last 5 years, and the number of people leaving childcare services closing is the lowest that it's been in 5 years.
Still not meeting demand then?
We need to do more to meet demand, and that's why I believe the state stepping in and starting to provide a public model of childcare alongside private, alongside community, is the way that we can target those areas where we don't have enough capacity and we can actually ensure that everybody, and that's what I would do, put in a legal guarantee that every child has a legal right to access the 2 years of the free preschool in the same way every child has a right to access primary school.
I mean, is your credibility damaged a little bit because you've made similar promises to improve the system when you became Minister for Children, but still too expensive, you acknowledge that, and we don't have enough spaces, you acknowledge that. How is that not failure?
I don't think it is because I've been up to halving the cost of childcare for many parents in this country, and that's taken sustained investment. I've been able to bring the first pay agreements for childcare professionals, the amazing women and men who work in services all over the country. Mm-hmm. And I've set out in our manifesto a pathway that we can continue to improve their pay and look to start to align them with teachers, because that's ultimately what we need to do if we are continuing to recruit and retain childcare professionals.
And is it you that made that progress, if it is progress, or is it you and Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil?
Well, it wasn't written into the programme for government, the commitment to half childcare fees. It was a decision I took. I went into the two rounds of budgets. I fought for that money.
So it's a Green Party.
I have championed, and the Green Party has championed, the issue of having childcare costs, and we've delivered that in this government.
So, Eimear Curry, mind would you claim that credit for Fine Gael is basically the message from your partner in the Green Party?
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I think Roderick's forgetting that it was Fine Gael that set up the National Childcare Scheme. And yes, we have seen progress in relation to affordability and the reduction of fees, but Fine Gael pushed very hard to continue the progress that was made. And what I will say is, yes, through the core funding, there have been a higher number of entrants in terms of providers. But at the same time, we are seeing the loss of smaller providers. And what Fine Gael will do is reform parts of core funding to make it work. work for all providers. They are an extremely important part of the sector. Mm. They're extremely important to our communities and to our families. And in addition to that, we're stepping in to public childcare.
Why didn't you do that before now?
I think we have, what we've done in the past is try to link new developments with childcare places through the 2001 guidelines for childcare facilities. But there's fundamental flaws in it.
In terms of what you said there, improve core funding. Why didn't you do that?
We have been talking about, and I certainly have been making the case to improve core funding in the Shannon.
Mm. And core funding has changed and it's grown. Like next year, it's €390 million that the state is spending to support services all over this country. That's money that wasn't there before I became minister.
I know, but we have billions in surplus now. So the plans that you have in place for the next 5 years, why haven't you done at least some of them before now?
Well, childcare spending when I became minister was €640 million per year. Next year it'll be €1.3 billion. I've literally doubled the spend in this area.
There is no
other area of public services that have seen that sort of growth in spending compared to early years.
We have to take into account inflation and rising population though.
But we also have to go further because Ireland didn't start investing in childcare till 2008. We are decades behind the rest of Europe. That's why we don't have a public model. That's why our childcare professionals aren't properly paid. So our proposal, the Green Party proposal, is that we would double funding again by the end of the next term of government. There'd be €2.6 billion going into childcare. That would bring us broadly in line with other European countries. It would allow us to address costs for parents. Mm-hmm. It would allow us to deliver capacity and begin the rollout of a public model.
Dr. Umar El Kadri, what would you like to see in terms of childcare for Dublin West?
Look, Dublin West is facing major challenges, and among these is the scarcity of school placement and the scarcity of child care placements. And childcare, as you rightly said, has become a second mortgage. It's become unaffordable. Many families would love to work. Both people in the family would love to work, the mother and the father, but they simply cannot afford the childcare. So it's about right time for the state to actually fund that. So any party that will support that and will increase school placements, will support childcare, I'm happy to work with.
And who has the best plan?
I think, when it comes to the Greens and the Fine Gael, with all due respect, they have made many, many promises in the past.
So well, we've delivered halving of costs.
The question also is, will they be able to deliver? That's the main question.
We have delivered.
So that's something that is a major concern for me. But again, as I said,
you seem to be aligning yourself with opposition parties. Would that be right?
Not necessarily, no. I mean, look, when it comes to Sinn Féin hasn't been tested. They have always been in the opposition. They haven't been tested. So I can't say anything about it in the South. I mean, I'm a citizen of the Republic of Ireland, so I can't speak on behalf of the people of the North. Although I love the North,
it's an issue by issue thing, you say. Can I move on for the last topic that we're going to discuss with you? And it's about school places and special education school places in particular. And there are long waiting lists for children with additional needs in schools. Mm. And I know there's a pilot scheme here, Roderick O'Gorman, in Dublin 15. But families who have a child with special needs panic every September. Will I get a place? Will I get a local place? How long will I have to travel? Will it add extra costs? Why is it like that? And how can it be fixed?
Well, you're right. They do panic. And over the last 2 years, we have to say families in Dublin 15 were let down because there weren't enough places at primary or at secondary level, particularly for children who need ASD classes or special schools, the appropriate school placement for those children. And we've put in place steps that can't happen again. So we can better plan what number of ASD classes will be needed at junior infants each year. Information from my department about children accessing early years, accessing childcare who have additional needs is now being used to chart what sort of numbers we'll need at primary school level.
Single point of entry pilot scheme, isn't that it?
So I think there's two issues there. The second issue then is that single point of entry, which is where parents who up to now have had to apply to 10, 15, 20 schools and do a separate application each time. Now we have a situation where there's a single point and that using school principals, using the NCSE, will be distributed to the other schools. I have to recognise that was an initiative coming from principals who are immersed in the detail of this, principals who have worked really closely with parents. But I recognise parents were let down, but we are learning from that and we are putting in place steps that that won't happen again.
Eimear Curry of Fine Gael, are you willing to acknowledge as well that parents of children with special needs have been let down by Fine Gael as well?
The parents of children with additional needs were definitely let down, and I campaigned very closely with them this year in order to secure places in special classes and special schools. And also then, by working with Minister Hildegard Nocton, setting up a Dublin 15 task force to look at the reform of the system in relation to the provision of places and the delivery of special classes so that this doesn't happen again. So this Dublin 15 task, Dublin 15 has been acknowledged by the Minister as being the hardest place in the country.
So local places for all is your promise, is that it?
Yes.
By when?
By September next year. That's why the task force has been set up, and that the Dublin 15 would be used as the example that would then drive reform in other parts of the country.
Okay.
Because there were glaring issues throughout this process.
Sorry, why has this been the case? We've had three state ministers in this constituency, a Taoiseach as well. So why have in every single issue, housing, healthcare, childcare, special needs, in every public transport, in every issue, people feel that they have been let down. Why has this been the case? This is the big question that, you know, people want you to answer.
And that's an awful lot of that's a question that an awful lot of people have asked. The other question in relation to Sinn Féin and children with special needs, and if they get a place, do you have a plan to supply that place?
We do, and it's actually, can I say, I find it quite incredible that the government is taking credit for the actions of the parents. The demands of the parents. Imagine parents of children with additional needs, and particularly autistic children, had to go onto the streets, had to go onto the streets of Dublin 15, and they had to bring their campaign to Dáil Éireann and campaign. I read out the names of 16 children who had no school places. There are still children in Dublin 15 as we speak.
We've covered on this programme extensively.
And I think
really
that is
briefly,
absolutely
what's your
shocking.
Plan?
So our plan is ensuring that every single child who needs a school place gets one.
That's an aspiration. What's your plan?
Well, the plan will be that we ensure that the Department of Education and the NCSE do their job, because that's what parents are asking of them. Do your job.
Okay.
There are people in there within the department, and particularly within the NCSE, who have been making promises alongside the government for the last number of years. It is now time to fulfil those promises for those parents, because, and it's not just school places, because again, I brought the attention to the Dáil.
Okay.
A waiting list of CDNT of 72 months in Dublin 15. There are children who will go through their entire school, primary school education without getting a single service.
I don't have time to dissect your plan or any other plan, despite the fact that we'd love to. The very best of luck in the rest of the campaign, knocking on doors and so on. Eimear Curry of Fine Gael, Paul Donnelly of Sinn Féin, Roderick O'Gorman of the Green Party, and Umar Al Qadri, independent candidate. They are the Dublin West candidates that you've been listening to. And I will tell you that there is a list of all the candidates in all constituencies, including Dublin West, on the RTE.ie website.